don't you? Just running around. And when Jesus was about, people said, oh, you know, make the children behave. He said, no, just let them come round to me and we'll have some fun with the kids in there. They'll get to know me. So I'd not be able to run that fast, Daniel. I don't think I can now. Hang on, all right, we can... That wasn't an excuse, Daniel. I think he wants to... Is anybody doing any children's work? We'll be praying for you, Joanna. I think they have the wind in their tail, as they say. So let you go out, shall we? Perhaps he might earn you a lot of money in the future. Perhaps he'd be a professional athlete or something. It's good to see you all this morning. We're going to finish Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19. This is the last in the series of the phrases, let us. So good to see so many of you here this morning. Hebrews 10 verse 19. Is this on, Tony? Is it right? It's on. Good, good. Hebrews 10, in my Bible, it says, a call to persevere. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And finally, the one that's born, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen? Good. I preached at another church last Sunday evening, a little church. Sadly, their pastor's not with them now. He's been called to glory. Just down the road from where we live. But they were very quiet. And when I said, amen, I've got you trained now. You might have an old amen back and things. But they were very... But I got one out of them, which I thought was quite an achievement, really. I thought, I thank God for the brothers and sisters at Merced, you know, that you've been well trained over the years. What they would have done with the kids running around there, I just hate to imagine. A little recap, we've covered most of this. But if we are to draw near to God, which is one of those, if we're to hold on to faith and hope in Jesus, and if we are to consider how we can stir one another up or spur one another on towards love and good deeds, as my friend Jeff Lucas said, and I've quoted him yet again, so perhaps he'll be hearing online and send me an invitation to visit him in his palace in America. But Jeff Lucas says, if that's true, for that to take place, for love of God, for love of one another, love and good deeds to happen, they don't just happen, he says. They need to be worked at. They need to be provoked sometime. We need to stir one another up for all that to take place. These let us's, there's no room, let us, not let me, but let us. If I have an issue with some of the songs sometimes, it's about me, but actually me, I've been born into a family. It's us. Church is us being joined together. I might be individual, but actually we're a unity together. So it has to be worked at. There's no room in the Church of Jesus for an independent Christian. And sadly, and I know many people that just give up meeting. So this is quite an important thing. It's very good that this is one of the most people we've had in church for some while. We're nearly all here this morning. So it's quite good, nevertheless, that we remind ourselves of it. So I'm not telling you off if we talk about this. We're just sort of reminding ourselves of what's important. These things have to be worked at. There's no room for us to be independently minded. It's just me and Jesus. No, it's me in Jesus' family. Us together. We are family. And for us to fulfill those drawing near to God, holding on in faith, declaring our hope and our faith in Jesus, for us to consider how to stir one another up in love and in good works, we have to be together with each other. That's a reality. And it's important. It's sometimes the longer we've walked in the faith, we hold that loose. And some things I question that I once believed as fervently as I once did, but actually something I can't let go of ever is the importance of God's family. Whatever goes wrong with it at times, and it can go wrong because it's made up of us, of me and you and Phil. He's a good boy, that's what I mean, you know. We can all look at the negative, but remember last time I said how important is it we dwell on what is positive, what is true, what is honourable, what is praiseworthy. I do remember one of the things when we first started learning about home groups and meeting in small groups as well, was there were some very interesting people that would turn up from time to time, you know, and who could quite easily in a small group drive you up the wall. You don't have any of those, do you? You've never met any of those? And you think, oh, your prayer would be, oh, I hope they don't come tonight. And of course, they're there telling you the same things they've always told you and the same problems that they keep repeating. I know Bassima would never do anything like that, you know. Perhaps it was just me. But some of the rest of you that are less holy will understand that. But I remember on one occasion, or in fact, more than one occasion, we sat down in little small groups of half a dozen, and I asked people not to think at all about anything negative about the people there, but to share what you liked about them, what was positive about them, what you saw that they were in God. And it radically changed their views of people. It's so important that we dwell on those good points. And when we don't, and we dwell on those negative points, that's when we stop going because, oh, I can't cope with that, or I know better than they do. That, and all that sort of thing is quite counterproductive and not at all of any value to us, really. For us to fulfill all these let us's, we need to be together with each other. Verses 24 and 25 in the Truth version of the New Testament, I dare mention, written by Colin Urquhart or translated by Colin Urquhart. Tony's never happy unless I mention him at least once in a sermon, who I have great regard for as a pastor. He says this. He translates verses 24 and 25. We can encourage one another to walk in love, blessing one another in practical ways. We certainly must not give up meeting together, as some have mistakenly done. No, we need to encourage. We need the encouragement of being together as one body, and even more as we eagerly await the day of the Lord's return. That's quite a nice translation of those verses, isn't it? We can encourage one another to walk in love. We can bless one another in practical ways. And, you know, it's a mistake not to meet together. You see, the first thing I want to say today is, I've said all this before, but it's good at the beginning of the year to remind ourselves, we've been born again, not to try and survive by ourselves. We're born again, like, into a family, the family of God. And it comes from every aspect, every walk of life, every race under heaven. We're all one family. Born into the family. We're not called to live and function alone. You agree with that? You see, the function of the church, somebody said, is fellowship. We're made for community. We're made to be part of a community. That's true. And a former prime minister some way back said there was no such thing as community. Well, that person was proved to be wrong. Community is there in the natural, but we're formed as God's people, and we find strength in the natural community often, but we find strength in the community of faith, in the community of God. Amen? It's God's design that Jesus' church is a spiritual family of brothers and sisters. And we should brother and sister each other. Now, if you have brothers or sisters, I have an older sister who's always trying to sister me, and I resist it at great length. But actually, we act in a different way to family, don't we? And there's often a bit more honesty. You know, my sister likes lots of praise from people, and I sometimes might just tell her a few own truths because I'm her brother and I can do that. Do you find that sometimes in family? She doesn't always take any notice of it, you know, and I might knock the other way around. But actually, the spiritual family of God, we're there to be real with each other. We are connected by faith in Jesus together. It's a spiritual bond. It's really close. And we might as well get used to it because we're stuck with it forever. In eternity. I just hope there's some of you on the other side of eternity where I... No, not you lot, of course, you know, but there are one or two I hope that I'll put away separately. Well, the Baptists have their own corner anyway in heaven, you know that. But we're called to brother and sister each other. It's a place of support. It should be. It should be a place, it's to be a place of help, a place of encouragement, a supportive community. So I get sad when often all people want to tend to do is just criticize or be negative. I often find when churches that have lots of people have lots of words, sometimes those words can be quite negative to the brothers and sisters. You've ever noticed that? And I don't believe that's how God treats us. He wants to encourage us. I might not be very good at some things now, but he wants me to improve, like any parent wants their children to improve. He's for us, he'll help us. A friend of mine was born with quite a severe disability, a weakness down one side and a leg that didn't work at all well. And his father was having none of it. And he used to walk him up and down stairs, day in and day out, to strengthen his leg. And his arm still doesn't do as much as it could do, but they said, oh, he'd never walk. His father wasn't having any of that. He committed himself. He said, remember him day after day, we'd come on, son, let's go up those three stairs again and four stairs. And so he worked on it, so much so that this person in the end played sport at really a very good level. And could possibly have played a cricket, except one arm wasn't as strong as the other. But, you know, so it was really the importance that Father God is committed to us. If an earthly parent can be like that, then Father God is more committed to us. And thank goodness we don't have them, but the numbers of times I've had to correct words that are tearing God's people apart. I genuinely don't believe that we have a father that wants to do that. There are times he would say, that's wrong. He don't sit us on a naughty chair. He has a better way than that. He has a way of encouragement to build us up. Just like my friend's earthly father built him up physically. So our Father in heaven. So if you've been at the receiving end of some of those, I remember receiving the most appalling word from God anonymously. That's always good, isn't it, when people want to hope those things. So I've received several over the years. Thank goodness you don't know where I live, otherwise, you know, no, I wouldn't receive them. She's so kind. I love her to bits. Thank you, Ruth. You told me you'd never give that address away. Right, that's that then. But if you've been at the end of that, they're little more than curses sometimes, actually. I can think the one that was written in, you know, because God is in the business of wanting to build us up, to encourage us. It's not to say he doesn't correct us, yes he does, but some of the words I've heard don't correct. They come from quite a viciousness that's not in the Father's heart. And so church should be a place of building one another up, encouraging one another. Yes, there are times for some correction, but actually it needs to be moderate and in the heart of God and with a heart of grace. So the family of God, it should be, we're stronger together. You agree? So if individuals cut themselves off from meeting together, I believe they're in danger. They're in danger. If we cut ourselves off, which is what the writer to the Hebrews is saying, from the covering of the spiritual blessedness of the church, the spiritual authority that Christ puts in us, if we cut ourselves off from the covering, from the undergirding of the church and the church's care, we are weaker. We are weaker alone and we're stronger together. That's the truth of it. That's exactly how we should remind ourselves. It's stronger together. I don't grow if I take weeks and weeks. I've had times where I've not been able to go to church because I wasn't well for perhaps a period of time, a month or 6 weeks. But actually, you don't necessarily grow like that. God's gracious, but we're designed to be together. There's something really quite lovely when God's people meet together. We're weaker alone. You see, because all the pictures of the church that we have, and I just think of three, and I've shared them with you before, all speak about us being about togetherness, oneness in Christ. John 15, verses 1 to 17, talks about him being the true vine, that the church is part of the vine. It's a relationship, if I'm grafted into that vine, a relationship with Jesus, but a relationship with everybody else as well. Yeah, you agree with that? Does it say that? It does, doesn't it? You read it for yourself, see what you think. And when we are in relationship with God and one another in a true biblical way, we produce fruit that lasts. The fruit comes from vertical relationship and horizontal relationship in the church and out from the church. It really does. Or you think about the picture of us being the body of Christ, which Paul talks about, I think particularly in 1 Corinthians, but in other places as well. No body can function independently. We as Christians can't operate independently of the head who is Jesus. And we can't operate fully as God intends, unless we're in relationship, submission and support and being built up by one another. It's important. Or the picture of us being a living temple. A temple isn't a single brick or a single stone. It's a lot of stones that are joined together, shaped together, put in a place that best suits them together to support the whole thing. So they're all pictures of togetherness, not of individual behaviour. So back to this scripture. Verse 25 then, which is the one I want us to really think about. Let us not give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. You'll be pleased to know I'm on page 2 of my notes, so it might not be too long, Lynn, so you never know. Simply, as I said a moment ago, we cannot fulfill the other let us's in this scripture. If we don't see the people and meet with the people, we're meant to encourage and stir up to love. The church isn't a virtual church. And I think if we're not careful, we could lose the whole ability in society to actually ever talk to anybody. The church actually is a counter to that, is that we can encourage people online and whatever, that's all good. But actually, you can do whatever you like on the platforms that we have to speak, you know, and I know a number of you operate on a platform for stuff within the church. But actually, there's nothing like this, where we meet together. It's so important. We don't have a virtual God. We have a real God of relationship who holds us by the hand, that we believe in faith, who speaks to us, who cares for us. And we find that care and support in his family, in the church. We can't fulfill worship on your own. We're called to worship together, to bow down, to lift up our voices, to declare Jesus together as well as individually. The Greek here in verse 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, which is what it says in the King James version of the Bible. The Greek suggests it's an official assembly, an official meeting for worship, for prayer, for teaching, etc. It's an official thing. It's not an unofficial thing in somebody's home. Meeting together in small homes, small groups is really good, and it's important in small cells. But actually, the cell, the small group meeting together, cannot replace the gathering of God's people. It's a supplementary thing to it, because in the same way that a cell is not a body, a cell is part of a body. And the cells together make up a body. In the same way, it's as we come together, the gathering together, the congregational part of our life together is important. And it's important to understand that at the beginning of this year, and to reaffirm it. So we know this, yes we do, but sometimes we let it slip. As I keep saying, let's try and make these Sundays a sacred occasion. We'll be there at all costs if we can. We won't take other appointments and things if we can avoid it on those days. This is something important. Because actually, there's something missing in my life and I'm not there. And there's something missing in the brothers and sisters if I'm not there. It's so important. I'm encouraged when we're together. There's something lovely about being together. I don't want to dwell on when it doesn't always work out. Right, and sometimes we, you know, it can be difficult. We know that. You know, I've been around long enough. I could probably got a longer list than you have of hurts and failures, you know, and things that don't work out. But I can't lose my trust in Jesus's way of feeding us, of encouraging us, of building us up. It's called his church. Amen? It is important. It's not the pastor's job to look after you all. We're there to look after each other. It's a good job as well, you say, otherwise. But actually, it's a role for one another. Love one another. Support one another. Encourage one another. I think there are 200 plus quotes of one another's in the New Testament. I can't be certain, so go home and check. If you just start telling me there were only 199, I think there might be nearer 250 one another's. No, don't do it just yet, but please don't start now. You see, as we meet together in Jesus' presence in worship, the promise is where two or three gather, I'm there. He's here. As we meet together, it's very important as family. And as we meet in Jesus' presence, his people are strengthened and encouraged. And I don't know you, sometimes just seeing other people I'm encouraged. Or hearing their story. Or just seeing how they are. Be encouraged. I'm always encouraged to see you. Well, most of the, I am. You know, I jest with you. I'm not jesting because actually it's lovely to see you. And each one of us. And you know, I don't matter, I don't count. And that's the lie that the devil says. They won't miss you. Nobody really cares. Doesn't matter. He does that to us all, doesn't he? But actually, it is important that we meet together, that we're together. Are you still with me? You see, in Jesus' family, seeing each other encourages us. Or a prayer that somebody might pray. You can't believe how many times somebody says a prayer and somebody's encouraged. Or somebody brings a little word and they're encouraged. Even from the preaching you can be encouraged and helped and guided. And I thank God for that. The stupidity of human beings sometimes, you know, of the foolishness of what we appear to do actually helps and encourages people. I can think of a person, I was preaching a particularly long series on themes in the Old Testament. I've not subjected you to those yet. And to be honest, I had to give out notes with it so people could follow my train of thought. It was quite an involved sort of sermon. And I can think of one of them, and you could see that people are just not connecting. But there's a lady in the congregation, a woman who I knew quite well, who'd been struggling with ill health and all the rest of it. And she found real faith one morning at the end of one of these. So much so that she believed God for a healing and she was healed. And I think, what from that? But actually that's the God taking the foolish things of this world. You know, to confound the wise. So just from a word, from preaching can encourage us. Or having a little chat over coffee can not just encourage us, but maybe give us a stir we need to do the thing that we wanted to, which is important too. Why, it's good not to think we're just isolated coals out of a fire, as it were, but we're part of that being joined and knit together. I've often heard the Lord's voice and a call to do certain things in a time of worship. I've often heard the Lord's voice. In fact, a call to ministry came from that. But lots of other occasions. I remember Lynn and I sitting in a meeting and we both responded on more than one occasion for baptism, for being willing to go anywhere where God sent us. If I'd known at the time that it might include certain places on the planet, I might have agreed to it. But, the Lord disturbs you, and it came out of a worship environment. Really quite lovely. So we're missing out if we don't do that. So together, as we draw near to Jesus, we draw near to each other, brothers and sisters. We're being equipped to love and serve. And we're being equipped with boldness to declare that Jesus is Lord. You see, this letter to the Hebrews is written, and they're not quite sure when it was written, but it was probably written between 60 AD and 70 AD, because it infers that the temple was still standing. Okay, so it gives you some idea. We don't know who wrote it, and I don't intend to go there. But what was happening, it was written at the time when Christians were starting to be persecuted by Nero. I've talked about this before with you. It was written at that time when the Christians were starting to be persecuted. But the Jews were not being persecuted at this time. They were persecuted under his predecessor, Claudius, but they weren't persecuted then. And you know, for some of the Christians, it felt safer to go back to the synagogue rather than stay with the church. And the writer to the Hebrews is suggesting very strongly that actually what we have is better than the worship. it's better than the priesthood that they had. It's a far better thing. He keeps on, it's better. We have a great high priest, better than any human high priest. In fact, he's in a different league. We have a better salvation altogether. And we need to recognize backwards isn't the place. That's what this is written to. Don't do it. Don't be foolish enough to think you can be an anonymous Christian in the synagogue, because actually they would have to ultimately denounce Jesus as Lord there. But actually, where we are, whatever's happening to us, it's the best place. And it's the best place together. We can strengthen each other. We maintain a common witness together, whatever we go through. That helps you understand it. As we draw near to Jesus, not church, but to Jesus, we're drawn near to each other, his family. We're equipped to serve, and we're given boldness to share in the world. And that's why it's important. You lose that boldness when you don't meet, when you don't encounter the risen Lord in that collectiveness. So lastly, I want to say this to you. I've finished. It reminds us, the writer is saying, why he says this is, meet together, and all the more, for you see the day approaching. You see the day of the Lord's return to planet Earth, where he will wind up this present evil age and a new kingdom will emerge, this everlasting kingdom. The day of the Lord is near. So as we meet together as well, we should remind ourselves that time is short for the Christian. Even if he doesn't come back in my lifetime, but he could do, time is short. We only have a set amount of days. The older we get, the more we realise that sometimes. That Jesus is near. We need to be alert and ready, like those wise virgins that Jesus talks about, with oil in our lamp, praising God, the oil of the Holy Spirit within us, so that we're able to not just see the way, but we're able to blaze a way for Jesus as well. The day is short. There's an expectation he will return. I made a bit of a mention of that. I might even preach to you sometime on the wise and foolish virgins. But you see, in that last day, for the lost, it will be an awful day. It will be an awful day. It will be a day of judgment. I don't intend to go into that now, but it is a difficult day. It's a difficult day. You know, it will be being separated from God and everything that's godly. And even those that don't believe live in the goodness of God at the moment in this world. But for the Christians, it will be a day of celebration, of victory in Jesus. But you know, the truth is, as I finish, it's this, in 2 Peter 3. Jesus doesn't desire that anybody is lost. Jesus doesn't want anybody to end up in a godless eternity, whatever that might look like. He doesn't want to do that. That's not his heart's desire. He didn't come into all he did. He wants none to be lost, Peter reminds those. He says that actually why he puts off that day is that more may come to know him. It's got a thing. The heart of Jesus has always been just one more, Lord. Just the lost one there. That lost sheep. Just one here. And God's heart, I believe, is for this whole area. That he doesn't want any to be lost. He wants them to find joy in Jesus, to be born again and added to his family and destined for heaven, which is what these scriptures have been telling us all this time. Our task then, while it's still day, and whatever might come by way of opposition and persecution, as the writer to the Hebrews suggests, our task is to declare and make known Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, forever, as we sung. To make him known with our words of love, with our actions of love. For the Lord promises, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're called not to build a church here, but to build a building for a church, to grow, that many may come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So let's commit ourselves afresh this year. Let us agree that we meet together, that we encourage one another, that we stir one another up to love and good works, that we will hold firmly to the faith and the hope that we have in Jesus and make that known, and that we will draw near to God, knowing that nothing can separate us from God's love. Your sins cannot separate you. God invites us to come. If we're hungry, we're thirsty, let us come. Let us draw near to God. I want to tell you that I am very thankful for the family of God. I'm very thankful that for brothers and sisters, not just here, but in many other places as well, that Lynn and I have had the joy of serving in, that it's a joy to be part of the family of God. And some of you move from one place to another, and we all do that from time to time. And actually, we just move to another part of the family. It might have a different feel about it, but it's still family. And that's really important. So, as I pray, I want you to say, Lord, I've been reminded, keep me reminded, keep me focused, keep me moving on. Keep us focused. Keep us moving on. Keep us recognizing who we are. And because God's got such good plans for us in the days ahead. Let's pray. Lord, if we've taken your church for granted at times because of familiarity, or maybe because of hurts, or maybe because of a spirit of independence or of pride, thinking we're better than others, we want to lay that aside at the beginning of this year. We affirm again our faith and trust is in you. You, Lord Jesus, have washed us clean by your sacrifice on the cross. We declare that to be true, and we believe that for ourselves. Help us to continue to lead, to draw near to you in our own private lives, and together, let us learn what the joy of drawing close to you in fellowship with each other. Lord, help us to encourage one another and to stir one another up to love and good deeds. Lord, help us and protect us from that spirit of independence or a spirit of pride that says, I know better than everybody else. Lord, speak to us through your words, through people's lives, through actions of others. We commit ourselves again at this time of the year to moving forward with you. Lord, we do believe you have plans and purposes for us that are beyond our wildest dreams or expectations. And all you're looking for is for us to say yes, Lord. And for us to say, yes, let's do this thing together. Let's move on with God. Let's forget what's behind us and let us strive on to what lies ahead. Lord, help me, help us in this holy quest, we pray this year and in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.